Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship. Now, if all of you people come down the front and all you come down the front, we'll have a full hall. But we've got a lot of people away because it's Christmas is coming. But we've got some amazing announcements to make, so just listen to this. Tea and coffee will be served in the usual way. There'll be no open air on the triangle, and there'll be no open air on the triangle until the beginning of next year. But the band are still being seen on the streets, and they have two consecutive Saturdays of carols in the town. So we're still on show there. That's great. On this evening, there's something on this evening. And if you don't know, then you've been away for a long time. It's 5:30 is the carol service, and unlike this morning, I think you need to get a bit early to get a seat for tonight if the last years are to go by. On Tuesday, there's a Churches Together message. It's an Advent session. It's in Ranelagh Church across the road, and it's open at 12:30 for soup, and then followed at 1 o'clock by a 30-minute film called The Chosen, that looks at the nativity from the shepherd's view. That's followed by a short discussion, and the whole thing should be over by 3 o'clock. We're coming to the busy period now of the open air of the meetings. And on the 23rd of December, there'll be a crib service at 3 o'clock, and then followed that by a film night. Now, the carol service is particularly suitable for children, so if you have grandchildren or children at home, then please send them along, and there'll be a film at 4:30. Sunday the 24th, there'll be a short worship here at 10:30 in the morning. Then on Christmas Day, we celebrate the birth of Christ at 10:30, and then there'll be followed by Christmas Day lunch and afternoon entertainment. I'm sorry to tell you that the Scottish dancing has been cancelled due to the bagpipes being out of tune, I think. Now, if you want to send a card to anyone and save a little bit of money, then we have on the notice board a place there for you to put your card saying Happy Christmas to all the family in the core. Now, here's some instructions. Following our benediction this morning, the band will play some Christmas music. And during that, or after they've finished, if you would make your way into the community hall for tea and coffee. And then the band will remain in their position, and the timbalists will come forward to this space, and they'll have the first and last rehearsal with the band, okay? So it should be good. So if we can clear the front part so this can take place straight away. And then after that, you can go for your tea and coffee as well. Now over to Captain.
It's good to see you. Oh, yeah, goodness me. And I'm very slightly lost for words this morning, which is highly unusual for me, so let's get going. The reason I asked John to announce the event on Tuesday, the Churches Together event on Tuesday, is because obviously it's very good to get together with other Christians and to kind of discuss things relating to the Christian faith. But the other reason I wanted to bring this up is because over the last few weeks or so, I've been watching The Chosen, and it's on Netflix, and it's on an app of its own, and it's an excellent TV series about the Gospels. And often Christian TV shows are a little bit corny, the production values are a little bit rubbish, the acting's a little bit amateurish, and the story's great, but the whole experience is a little bit cringy. Do you agree with me? Yeah. This is not the case. This is not the case. And that's why Netflix are showing it. If Netflix are showing it, it's because it's a quality product. and it tells the gospel story in a new way. And it reveals Jesus to us in a beautiful, enfleshed way. This often can feel a little bit dry, can't it? The style of the writing, the style of the translations. This film, The Chosen, makes it beautiful. And I'm not going to pretend that I've not cried watching it. I'm not going to pretend that I've not been deeply moved by this very human, God-man Jesus. Watch it. Ditch Bridgerton and pick up The Chosen. The band have introduced us to the opening song for this morning, Joy to the World. Yeah, Jesus is good news, and we know that. And I invite you to stand now, if you are able, to sing together. Take your seats. I always feel that one needs a fourth or a fifth verse. Maybe the poets among us can rectify that. And I invite you now to join in singing the Light of the World, during which time the Advent candle will be lit. And the reason this song here is, of course, it speaks of the incarnation. And in that sense, it's the best Advent and Christmas song that we can have. But it also gives us the opportunity to state the reason why we are here this morning. Here I am to worship. There should be nothing else on our minds this morning, but we know that often there is. But let's use this as an opportunity to focus our minds on the reason we are here this morning. Light of the world, you set down into thank you. You will have found them sheets of paper and pens near you, and I invite you to grab one of them now. A sheet of paper and a pen. I've had to buy new pens for this week because my stock of core pens for Sunday morning's been going down and down. So I don't know who the pen thief is. But if you want to return them, we'll have them. And on this piece of paper, I want you to do one thing. And one thing only. And I want you to write the name of someone in this core. Or someone in your community, someone in your family, someone in your mind. One person only. Go. And write the name of one person right now. Lovely. And in the silence of these moments, I want you to thank God for them and to thank God for what they mean to you. So very quickly, let us pray that prayer in our own hearts and in our own minds. And now I'd like you to take your paper again. Because very often, we don't know really what each other is living through, do we? Very often, we don't know what struggles or difficulties or challenges we are going through, do we? We're not always the most honest people sometimes. So I would like you to crunch up your bit of paper into a snowball which represents the storms of life. And if you now throw your snowball, that represents the chaos sometimes that life represents. So one, two, three, whoa! Oh, Anne Little's just been hit on the head by a snowball. But we get a sense there of the chaos sometimes of the life that we live in. So now, let's return to some silence and think once again of that person that you were thinking of. And say, Lord, I don't know. You might know what this person's going through. You might not know. But pray for them in this moment that they might know something of God's presence amongst the storms and the chaos of life. Heavenly Father, many people have been prayed for this morning. And we lift these people up to you right now. We don't always know the exact circumstances they are facing. But we know, Lord, that you are with them. And that you are in the midst of that. And that they are never alone. And we pray for each other. But perhaps for these people in particular. That they might experience the joy and peace of Christmas. We think of our carol service later on this afternoon, Lord. And we know that for many this will be the only time that they enter a church this year. We give thanks to you, Lord, that we've got the opportunity to minister to people in this way. And we pray that they too would experience something of the joy and peace of Christmas. That they would get to be brought back to the real meaning of Christmas because of what will be shared later on this afternoon. We think of those of our number who are not with us this morning for a variety of reasons. Some good and some not so good, Lord. And we pray, though, that even though they are not with us, we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to them wherever they are. And that they would, in their own way this morning, seek to draw near to you as well. Lord, for our time this morning, will we dedicate it to your glory, Lord. We are gathered here to worship you. We want to be your people, Lord. But we want that to be manifest in the world around us, Lord. So speak to us this morning and send us from this place as people who are that little bit more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We make this prayer in and through the glorious name of that Son. Amen. And we turn now to the ministry of the songsters. Songsters again in our meeting this morning. The mini choir were meant to sing, but they've had a few drop out through sickness, so unfortunately we're not going to hear from them today. But fear not, it's given me the opportunity to insert one of my favourites. So the way it's going to be is what it's going to be. So please stand up and join in with the actions. We know this one well. There is no excuse not to get involved.
Help me.
Thank you very much for taking part. I noticed kind of a little kind of drop in intensity in the participation, but we'll put that down to a busy month of December. And then in January, of course, we'll be back to normal, I've got no doubt. If not, I'll start and I'll come speaking to you individually. It was on a starry night is our next carol. And just remain seated for this one as we sing together. And the next item in our worship, in our worship this morning is Merrily on High, presented to us by the band. Thank you. fairly on high. We're going to sing again once again. And we're going to sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd." And I chose this for the chorus, "And I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone." And while we sing this, we'll have the opportunity also to give in the offering. And we will follow the lead of the worship band for this one.
It's my
reading from the Good News as recorded by Luke. Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is the word of the Lord.
It's near impossible, I think, to imagine how Mary and Joseph must have felt during the days leading up to Jesus' birth, being bombarded with new circumstances, experiences and insights, visits from angels, shepherds and wise men, as well as from family, possibly, probably. And scripture also records a visit to the temple. These were busy days. These were confusing days. And these were most certainly chaotic days. But what is breathtakingly impressive in the midst of all of this is Mary's openness and sensitivity to the presence of God through it all. Because we know through experience that even at the best of times, we struggle to listen and to be open to what God is doing. So when life and personal circumstances are ever-evolving, ever-changing, that becomes an even greater challenge. But Mary listens. She watches. She ponders as she discerns what God is doing. And I imagine that throughout Mary's and Joseph's individual but now shared experiences, that they must have had a deep faith in the goodness of God and his faithfulness despite the hardship. And in a similar way, Paul's prayer to the church in Rome was that God would fill them with all joy and peace as they trusted in him, overflowing with hope by the power of the Spirit. All of that, irrespective of the circumstances they face. So today, this morning, I want to remind you simply that God can be relied upon in all the various circumstances of our lives. Luke chapter 1 verse 38 gives us an insight into Mary's heart. And this is really unusual for the Gospels. So it's significant and it must be taken seriously. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the gospel writer here is seeking to portray Mary as laying down her life for God and trusting his ways, even though she was afraid and does not understand what is happening to her or what is going on. And this is in contrast then to the disciples who, admittedly, later in Jesus' ministry would struggle to exhibit the same depth of spiritual maturity, often being more concerned about their status or role among the events of Jesus' life. Mary, however, places herself at God's disposal and relegates her own interests in favor of God's purposes. And it's important at this point to remember that she was little more than a young girl. And this serves us, at least, as a helpful reminder that spiritual wisdom is not necessarily related to age. Mary's song of praise, which is known as the Magnificat from the first word of the Latin version of this text, is a statement of surrender and trust from a young woman whose deep spiritual maturity belies her years. Mary provides us with an example of a life totally surrendered to God's will, content to allow God his way, whatever the outcome. So the question for us is, how can we live a life surrendered to God, consciously looking and listening for what he is doing in the often chaotic and confusing circumstances of life? For some, this might involve letting go of the past. For others, it might mean letting go of the need to be in control of everything. For many, this might mean letting go of an experience that has hurt us. And the dilemma that many of us will also face, and I think at this point I'm speaking to myself, might involve laying down our need to make things happen and quietly and reflectively trust God and allowing things to happen according to His will and way. Fundamentally, is it down to me to make anything happen anyway? Is it down to us to make anything happen anyway? Whilst Mary gives us a brilliant example of it, the most sublime picture of surrender is surely the child in the manger, becoming utterly powerless and helpless, as all babies are. God chose this mode of entry into the world to commence His new mission. And as we gaze on the powerlessness of an all-powerful God, we may ask ourselves, is this picture of vulnerability and dependence an insight into the life of all disciples of Jesus? And the word gaze here is important because it does suggest thoughtfulness, inquiry, wonder, and reflection, as opposed to simply looking or glancing, which may be much more kind of short-lived and fleeting. What are we seeing as we gaze at the Christ child? What are we learning about the vulnerability of God? And how should we, in turn, reflect this? So as we consider goodness revealed in the Christ child, we come to understand that God's love is for every person in the world. To think that salvation is merely offered at an individual level is missing the even grander purpose behind the coming of Jesus into the world. God wants to transform the whole world and its power structures that create social injustice and all the evil that arises as a result. God does not want anyone to perish. And the aim of His mission, the reason He sends us, is to get a little bit of heaven into everyone and to get everyone to be with God for eternity. And the world for God was a theme for many of the early salvationists, many of the early Salvation Army songwriters. And their vision was of a world living under the reign of God. And that inspired them to live as if that were already the reality in the often challenging here and now. The trick for us and the takeaway for us this morning is to remember that God's purposes are unfolding, even if the circumstances around us seem to contradict this. So we must, like Mary, remain equally open-minded and trusting. Major Joy Webb's song paints the picture of a world in disarray, and the lyric recognizes that the only solution to the chaos of the world, and if we are honest, to the chaos of our own, the disorderliness of our own inner lives, is Jesus. So let's join with the songsters and make its chorus our humble prayer. Lord Jesus, come into our world.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to trust in your purposes as we live in between times, between your coming 2,000 years ago and your return. Keep us faithful, Lord. Amen. Our closing carol this morning is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I invite you to stand as we sing together. Go now and walk in the light of the Lord. Stay alert, for the Lord is near. Put on the armor of light and live openly and honorably. Pray for peace for all God's people. And may God clothe you in the light of Christ. May Christ Jesus teach you his ways. And may the Holy Spirit keep you alert and prepared for the coming day of the Lord. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.